The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, I tell you, if there ever was a day for Whiskey Thursday, which for me started at about 9:30 this morning, today has been it. And you know, I always tell you and Hilton that I worry when the day starts off with little news, when I do my morning scan of the papers and I do my analysis for the day, because then I know that something is coming. And boy, have we had a day.
It's actually interesting.
One
color
gun after the other.
I was chatting to Kathy Kaler after her show this morning, and she said exactly the same thing. I said, it's really a very strange, slow news day. And she said, oi, that's always a sign of trouble.
For sure, for sure. And I had it right here in my neighborhood with the Haredim who were protesting and actually lying in the street of the 443, which is about Tzomet Shilat, if you know Modi Inn and the exit and entrance right the closest to Jerusalem. And it has been an insane day.
All right, so tell us what is going on with the conflict within the Haredi community. What is happening?
Okay, well, first of all, my as you can imagine, my soapbox is out from under my desk, and I'm standing on it with a glass of wine because I couldn't get to the whiskey today. But basically, the Haredim are protesting the Gius, the conscription, the call up to protesting Haredim have been arrested. And like with all things that are just puzzling about this area, I do not understand why they won't leave the yeshiva for 8 million, but there will be riots and pandemonium and a day of rage, which they have declared. They declared that today is a day of rage and have caused tremendous, tremendous chaos from Modi Inn all through to Jerusalem. It is virtually impossible to get in and out of Jerusalem at the moment. There are so many demonstrations. The city is on virtual lockdown as Haredim declared their day of rage. They've been holding signs saying, we'd rather die than be conscripted. We will not be called up to the Zionist army and other very undesirable language. It really is absolute chaos. They've been setting fires to garbage bins. They've been saying, Israeli police let us demonstrate without turning us disabled, which is referencing some of the disabled protests that have been happening over the last couple of weeks. And the Haredi leaders have complained, get this, Howard, that the disabled receive better treatment than they do from the police.
All right, so let's break this down. First of all, why would they choose a hashtag day of rage when they know the sensitivity in terms of the Palestinian usage of that catchphrase? Is that deliberately provocative?
I think that is absolutely deliberately provocative because they are aware of the sensitivities and these particular sects, and it's not all Haredim because we do have Haredi units in the IDF of soldiers who are very, very proud to serve, and it mustn't be confused with the Dati Lumi, the national religious who wear the knitted kippot and very, very proudly learn and serve and work in the state of Israel. So these are factions within the ultra-Orthodox or the Haredi who do not believe in a state of Israel. They do not believe in serving being a part or contributing to any state of Israel. They have enjoyed exemption status since the beginning of the state of Israel because they believe that their contribution to the Jewish people, not necessarily to the state, is to study, and they don't believe that there should be a secular state of Israel until Moshiach comes.
Right.
And this particular sector are very, very disruptive.
Okay, so just to be clear on that, because I do want to try and get some kind of a rational understanding of it, because I think that our natural inclination, and certainly mine is one of absolute disgust and horror. Mervyn saying as well, the behavior of these extremist thugs gives fuel to the left and brings damage only to themselves. I'm not sure that I disagree with Mervyn, but my question is this, is can we break this down and try and understand what, if we look at the Haredi community, how big a sector, or how large a group within the Haredi community is this?
Well, it seems to be much larger than we have initially thought. They have blocked off major intersections. You can't get buses in and out. They've become violent. I mean, some of the images coming in from Jerusalem are just extraordinary. The police have arrested 40. So there is a significant size, and they are very, very aware, even though they may not be Zionist or particularly massive in size, they're sizable enough, but they are very, very aware of their power within the government, because they know that it's very difficult for any government to form a coalition without their involvement. We've seen their influence on other issues, and when it comes to conscription has been a major issue. We have seen it over the last couple of years, and what actually gave wings to the Yesh Atid party a couple of years ago was that the Yesh Atid party really, really made compulsory conscription one of the major issues on their platform, that everybody needs to serve.
So it is a specific group within the Haredi community, but it seems to be gaining, perhaps, from the numbers that we're seeing, a lot of sympathy. Does that make sense?
I wouldn't say they're necessarily gaining sympathy. I think that there are elements around the world that will use what is happening and will use their particular ideology, that they'll exploit this. But it is, and they also understand, and unfortunately it has become a trend in recent weeks, that if you want to disrupt Israeli society or the Israeli way of life, disrupt the traffic patterns. We've seen it with the disabled people who one of their modus operandi when they protest is to actually take to the streets and block off the traffic, which of course causes pandemonium. I mean, anyone who's driven in Israel, and I drive all day long, and I tell you, I dread those couple of hours that I sit in the traffic. It is absolute chaos, and they know this, and they have cottoned onto this, and they're blocking the traffic. They're blocked near our Shilat Junction, Tzomet Shilat today, by actually lying in the streets that the police had to come and physically remove them, and forming human chains, as well as now in Jerusalem, and this is leading to clashes. Are they gaining sympathy with Israelis? Not at all.
Well, I can't imagine, because in fact, a couple of SMSs I'm going to read. Nikki says, "Hi, I don't understand. If they're waiting for Mashiach, why are they waiting in the Zionist state? In other words, go and wait somebody else."
Me too, Nikki. Me too.
That's a fair comment. And Sign saying, "Yeah, they don't believe in a state that probably supports them to live whilst they stay." Emotional reaction says, well, then get out of the state that you don't like. So, unsigned, that is my immediate emotional response to it. I find it absolutely appalling that you could live in relative safety. In fact, not in relative safety, living in complete safety in the areas of Jerusalem or Bnei Brak or wherever else you live, only because somebody else's children are actually protecting you. You know, other people's sons and daughters are protecting you. The state subsidizing the yeshiva experience. And you know, yes, I do get, and I think it's very important that we establish that the concept that it's a Jewish state. So there is tremendous and unparalleled value in the observance of Judaism and the learning and the studying at the yeshivot. And I do think that the Haredi community contribute in that regard, but it's not enough. And there's no reason why they shouldn't participate in the army. And especially, Rolina, maybe you can take us a bit through some of that. The army, as far as I understand, by creating Haredi units, is making very sure that the Haredi way of life and certain value systems from that community is respected. They're not put into mixed units with women. There aren't on a lot of the bases, the women aren't present. It's very, very carefully controlled.
It, It is very carefully controlled, and that's why people get angry, is because we are making the concessions to allow for all sectors of society to serve. We have minority communities, Druze, Arabs, and in fact the numbers amongst Arabs are increasing exponentially, Christians who serve proudly. They couldn't be more proud to serve the Jewish state. So to see this amongst our own, so to speak, is really, really frustrating and makes a lot of people angry. Because if it wasn't for our army, we wouldn't have safe yeshivot for them to study in. And we also look at, as you say, the specially created Haredi units within the army, and that's a special sensitivity that the army have tried to incorporate. And also the incredible Dati Lomi, the national religious, who also, they study in yeshivot, they proudly serve in the army, they defend the state with their life, and also just this highly provocative language, the propensity to get violent, it's creating real havoc.
Yeah, look, I don't know, I was going to be very, very cynical and say I'm surprised they're there all day, because surely, you know, there are other important things to be doing during this time rather than disrupting the whole country and causing chaos. I wonder what the concept of, I mean, there are a couple of concepts of in halakha, in Jewish law, such as respecting the rules of the state, that even if you don't believe that Jews should be there, the Messiah has come and and until then you don't recognize the state, you're still living under another government, even by that token. And that means you've got to respect the laws of the country. That's one of the very strict regulations or halachot in Judaism. You can't go against the law of the country. The other thing is that you can't bring a disgrace, chilul Hashem, to religion. And surely these guys are doing all of the above.
Well, they're clashing with women. We've had incidents of female reporters being verbally abused by these protesters. And some people are saying that it is it's almost like a revolution that is happening at the entrance to Jerusalem. And they're walking around with signs that say, Milchemet Dat is like they're the religious, it's a religious war. It's a religious war against them. I'm also very curious about what the laws of halakha are, and I would, if there's anybody out there who knows, I would be happy to be enlightened, but it is profoundly hurtful, because this involves verbal abuse against people, it involves a destruction of property, it involves Lashon Hara, which is definitely against the laws of halakha, and it also, like, to me, I'm just puzzled, is that why they can't come out for 8 million of their fellow citizens, but there is absolute havoc for two.
Yeah, absolutely devastating. What are the politicians saying at the moment? Because it's a very, very real hot potato, this, isn't it? Because the coalition relies on some of the support of the Haredi parties.
Well, we haven't heard much from the government. I would probably say it's safe to bet that they are in a big discussions with what to do with this. But, I mean, more reports coming in that in Sfat, that there were dozens of ultra-Orthodox protesters blocking the entrance to the city of Sfat, and they were clashing with the drivers, including kicking and shoving them. It's absolutely outrageous.
Was this,
I mean, I even have Jack weighing in on it here by meowing loudly into the microphone.
Right, well, obviously not very happy about that at all. But what, was this a planned demonstration? Because if it's happening all over the country, or did it just kind of erupt spontaneously?
I think it was absolutely planned, and there are some accounts of Rabbonim who are telling their congregants to come out and stand up to the Haredi, saying that they are proud to serve. This is the country. This is a Jewish country. They need to come out in force against these Haredim. So it's almost revolutionary.
really concerning. Israel and the U.S. have slammed Iran at the United Nations. Tell us about that.
Well, this is also, there's been a lot of saber rattling between the Iranians, who have taken great exception to us firing against the anti-aircraft battery the other day. And again, there are issues with the nuclear deal that they stubbornly carry on enriching their uranium and their plutonium, which is against the agreement of the nuclear agreement. And both the U.S. and Israeli ambassadors to the United Nations, as Danny Danone and Nikki Haley, said that Iran's rulers are creating a situation that is very, very provocative to the international community, that the Security Council had adopted a dangerously short-sighted approach. And Nikki Haley says that judging Iran by the narrow confines of the nuclear deal misses the true nature of the threat, that nobody seems to be listening, and that Iran must be judged in totality of its aggressive, destabilizing, and unlawful behavior. And to do so otherwise would be foolish. We've heard Iran time and time again threatened to destroy the state of Israel by any means necessary. And they are using these nuclear capabilities to try and carry out their threat. They also threatened Israel yesterday by saying that they find any violations of Syria absolutely unacceptable, and they will answer us. They will. They say that they cannot accept a situation where the Zionist entity attacks Syria from the air and from the ground. Well, you heard our Prime Minister just 2 days ago saying that if anyone tries to destroy us, we will destroy them. If anybody tries to hurt us, we will hurt them. So a lot of very, very aggressive speak between both Iran and the state of Israel.
But there's definitely, in fact, we mentioned it yesterday, there's definitely a shift with regard to Iran and Syria. There is unquestionably a move by Iran to get as involved in Syria as possible. And now we're even seeing that they're sort of taking it on as though that they represent the country.
Well, absolutely. And we discussed yesterday the statement from the Russian Minister of Defense, who said that they will increase the buffer between the state of Israel and Syria to try and push back Iranian Revolutionary Guard for coming closer to our borders.
Very, very frightening. Very, very frightening indeed. Finally, IDF has raided Palestinian media outlets for incitement. Tell us about this.
Well, the IDF raided the offices of 8 Palestinian media and production outlets in the West Bank last night, suspecting them of distributing and broadcasting inciting materials. And anyone who's seen any of the footage that comes off Palestinian media or looked into the textbooks, it's nothing but complete hate speech. So there were several companies in Bethlehem, Nablus, Hebron, Ramallah, including Palmedia, Ramsat, Transmedia. They were all served with closure orders. And the IDF also raided the offices of Al-Quds newspaper and Al-Quds channel in Hebron and the Palestine Al-Yum and Al-Aqsa channels in Ramallah. And Palmedia is a member of the Palestinian Telecommunications Group, which broadcast to several media outlets such as Russia Today, Al-Mayadeen, Al-Manar, and Al-Quds News.
Unbelievable. Very, very frightening. And not an easy news day on the Israel Report with Rolene Marks. Rolene, you have a Shabbat Shalom. I hope things calm down and you are able to regain some of your optimism and positivity ahead of next week.
Absolutely. You know, I think as our Christian brethren say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think we've got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because I don't like the footage that I'm seeing coming in with all these clashes.
Absolutely right. Time is 5:29. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you every day by the Blue Agency.